Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I am your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the very lovely and eternally charming Diane Brierley, and of course,
eternally charming,
and the amazing Philip James Unger.
Hello.
Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly boring program. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, your relational conundrums, your dating dilemmas, that you can email to us at askask@markgungor.com. Here is how the show works. Pay attention, everyone. Class, this is how the show works. You can send us an email about anything. Nothing is off limits, hence the warning at the beginning of the show. You get to stay totally anonymous. In the safety of anonymity, no one in the world knows who you are. We then are brutally honest. We don't care about your feelings. We're not responsive to your feelings. We don't anticipate and project how you might feel. Quite frankly, we don't care. This is the show that is not about feelings. It's about telling you the truth. Okay? You want a warm and fuzzy show? There's lots of them out there. The show is about getting to the point. If we like what you think, we will celebrate you. If not, we will castigate you. Three versions of castigation on the program. If we think you need to snap out of your delusions, we will give you a swirly. That's when we stick your head in the toilet and we flush it, and the water's spinning around your head, swirling intensely. Hopefully, we'll wake you out of your delusions. If we think you're really crazy, you'll get the goat button. And if you blather on too much, so don't give us too long of an email, you will get the goat button. If you get all three, you are officially crazy. Here is our issue for today. What do you got?
The issue for today is going to show probably my age and my old-fashioned sensibilities. Just warning you ahead of time. Well, University of California did this survey study thing about dating and who should pay for dates.
Oh, who should pay
for
dates?
Two out of three men think women should help pay for a date, although they say most felt guilty about accepting the money. 64% wanted to split the bill.
Wow.
44% of these dudes said that they ditch a love interest who never doled out dollars. 84% of men.
Well, this is not shocking to me at all.
I'm
not. These are guys who expect women to have sex on the first date. These men, I don't know why women have so cheapened themselves. Because men view women as basically subservient. And not from a biblical standpoint of subservient. I mean subservient to the fact that, you know, give me oral sex,
give me this.
The first date, give me that, take care of that, pay for this. And women tolerate this. They think in America, this has been the women's moment, you know, that we can help women rise and be as obscene and as disgusting as men. And all they've done is cheapen themselves in the eyes of men. And men expect to be served by women. So this doesn't surprise me at all that guys would expect. Certainly in my generation, we would have never thought in these terms.
It's just beyond my realm of thinking.
And Diane's like five generations before me, so that's how old she is.
Seriously?
I don't think women could work back in your day, could they?
They weren't even allowed
They weren't allowed
house.
To vote in Diane's
no,
day.
That's right.
That's how old she is.
Seriously, I was talking about this with my husband, and I said, I don't think I recollect in my whole years of dating, I don't think I ever paid for a date. I don't think I ever offered. And it was not on my radar to even do so. And even at my advanced chronological age now, I'll be dipped if I would go out with a guy that he would expect me to pay. I'd dump him if he expected me to pay. What do you mean he's going to dump me?
I've never been dipped. I'll be dipped. What is that? I'll be dipped. Dipper.
Never heard that?
I've never. Is that really a phrase? I'll be dipped?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's a shortened version of a longer phrase, but it's not made for air.
Okay. Let's not get obscene. Dipped. I've never been dipped, I don't think. Okay. I don't even know what she's talking about. Anyway, okay. So, now I agree.
Honestly.
I think this is bizarre.
Never. I wouldn't even date a guy who thought I was supposed to pony up for and I don't care if we're dating 6 months or a year. You're paying for it, dude.
Did you ride a lot of ponies on your dates?
No.
Because that's when she said dating back before cars were invented. That's why she would pony up.
Mm-hmm. It was the Pony Express. I was dating the Pony Express riders.
All right, that's our opening salvo. Whatever nonsense you got out of that, I have no idea. We will be back with your emails right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
This podcast of the Mark Gunger Show is being brought to you by audible.com, the leading provider of audiobooks in the known universe. Over 100,000 titles where you can learn all kinds of stuff. You can even find books about very obscure sayings and phrases. Inappropriate things that Diane says.
Off the air.
On the air. And off the air.
I didn't say it on the air.
How would you know? How would you know about these things? By becoming educated, getting a book in your brain. Here's the wonderful thing about Audible. You can listen to the books. You don't have time to read, but you can have time to listen. If you'll go to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger, as a listener to this program, you can get a free download. Any download of any book that you want in the known universe, you can get for absolutely free. Just because you mentioned my incredible name. And you'll get a 30-day free trial. So go to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. Audiblepodcast.com. Do it today. Don't forget.
Well, I feel like the whole world's on my back. And it seems like...
Hey, listen to the music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. This is Mark Gunger on the Mark Gunger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. I'm wearing my African shirt today.
Yeah.
My Madiba shirt. Africa! I love Africa. Our biggest audience actually is in Africa. Mm-hmm. All right, what do you got?
I think this question actually comes from Africa, judging by the email address. Dating question.
What does the email address say?
Oh, the dot Africa? CO dot, no, the dot CO dot ZA.
Oh, that's yes, South Africa. Yep.
Mm-hmm. She says, I'm 22 and a virgin, but my boyfriend has had sex. He was molested at 12, then lost his virginity to a girl at age 13. He also used to
Wait. He was molested at 12, but didn't lose his virginity till...
Well...
Okay, I get it.
No, willingly.
All right.
He also used to meet up with chat buddies just to have sex. He wants to marry me, and I love him, but I struggle with getting over his past because it feels as if a gift that should have been mine has been stolen from me, and I will give my virginity to him on our wedding night and get nothing in return. I also struggle with visions of him with other girls, and he is still friends with some of those girls. Mm-hmm. How do I get over his past?
This is how you get over his past. You dump him. Dump him and move on. It is not your... And people say, well, that's not forgiving. It's not about forgiveness. He didn't do this to her. He did this to other people. He did this before God. They're the ones that have to forgive. Just because someone else did something you're uncomfortable has nothing to do with forgiveness and it has nothing to do with judgment. She's just saying, I am uncomfortable with that. You have every right. And I tell people all the time, when you're dating people, you get to look at the person. You're trying to look at their character, who they are, where they've been. Everything is fair game during the dating process. Already, sweetheart, if you're having this much trouble at the dating process, stop it. Go find a different guy. Okay? I don't know what is the matter with people. They have all these problems before they get married, and they press ahead. She's looking for help.
She wants to know how to get over it.
See, she is, in essence, asking for counseling before she gets married. Yeah. When you need marriage counseling before you get married, you are crazy. You do not marry the person. Move on. Find somebody else. All you guys going on, I need someone to help us with our relationships so we can get married. I need someone to help us with our issues so we can get married. What is the matter with you people? During the dating process, this should be the best it will ever be. This is the best. Usually, my dear, this is what happens. You're enamored with a boy. He's enamored with you. You love each other. You love who each other is. You're comfortable with their past. You're comfortable with their family. You're comfortable with their faith. You're comfortable with their friends. Everything. And this is the best it will ever be. And then you'll get married and you'll drive each other crazy. That's what marriage is, okay? But now you have someone you're building a life with. You have sex now. At least that's a big win. But it's hard. Marriage is hard. The Bible says, he who marries will have trouble in this life. Now, that's under the best of circumstances. Why you people insist on marrying someone that you need counseling with before you get married? It will only be a disaster. If this is the best you'll ever feel about this boy, can you imagine what you're going to feel like after you marry him? As bad as you feel right now, you feel bad for his past and you feel bad that you're not going to be able to, you know, have a unique gift on your wedding night and all that. If you already feel this way, why are you dating some guy that is against everything that you're wanting and desiring? Mm-hmm. Stop. If you marry this boy, you should never, ever get married counseling. They should put a burn in your forehead like they put on cows, you know.
A brand.
Shh. Do not counsel. You should be banned. All you people who are miserable and getting counseling before you get married, you should be banned from counseling in the church. Because you know what these people do? They go ahead and get married anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And as predictable as you could have told them, as the sun is going to rise, they're miserable. Now they go to the pastor and they waste his time. They go to people in the church and waste their time. They go to counselors. They go to the family. Everybody's doing everything they can to hold them together, sucking the life out of and all the energy out of the kingdom of God. People like this. Because everybody's trying to help you stay married when you know you shouldn't have gotten married in the first place. Stop it. You marry him, then you just suck it up. No calling the pastor, no calling the family, no calling counselors. You're signing up for this, you signed up for it. Quite frankly, these people should be locked in a room for eternity with each other. That would be their own personal hell. I have had it up to here. People who know they should not get married. And they do it anyway, and then they just suck the life out of everybody around them trying to save their marriage. When you are this miserable already, you've just given me half a dozen reasons why you shouldn't marry this guy. Don't marry him. Don't date him. Break it off. Stop it. What's the matter with people?
I can't imagine. She wants to know how to get over it. I can't imagine constantly, the whole while I'm married, wondering, is he thinking about somebody else? Having these pictures in my head, was he with somebody else? Forget it. I would just as soon cast that away and find somebody.
Well, see, some other stupid Christians will come up to her and say, well, you just need to forgive. She doesn't need to forgive. He didn't do it to her. There's no transgression against her. She's just uncomfortable with his past. Yeah. Well, you need to love him despite. Okay, she can love him from a distance. She doesn't have to marry the guy. There's no obligation that says you have to marry someone that you don't are not comfortable with. She doesn't want to be with this guy. Well, she does.
She does.
She wants to be with the version of him that she'd like.
Yes, and it's not going to be that
version. Women living in these stupid fantasies. What you do is you go find a guy that you are comfortable with.
Yeah.
Bottom line, sweetheart, you find someone you are comfortable with. Stop this.
That's so unromantic. There's a mystical force called love.
It's supposed to overcome
it. It's a lot like
all.
Gravity. And if you have enough of it, then it will really, you can overcome everything.
All aboard! All aboard the crazy train! We're going to get married anyway! Good grief. Sorry, I'm sure that's not what she wanted to hear.
No, but she wanted to know how to get over it.
You don't get over it.
You
walk away from it.
There's some things you can work with, and there's some things you walk away. And I'm sorry, some of that sexual past baggage stuff, that's the big stuff that, in my opinion, whatever that's worth, that's what you really need to walk away from. More than you don't like his family or something. Some of that is a lot more overcomable. Is that a word?
Overcomable.
It's surmountable there. More of that is
like
surmountable.
Overcomable better. Yeah.
That sexual stuff is hard to get over. It's hard to deal with.
Now, here's the thing. Somebody in his life will be very comfortable with it.
Oh, yeah. That might be a girl that's not a virgin that, I've been there.
Let him marry a girl who doesn't have a problem with it. It's very simple. You are under no obligation to marry some guy that you are really uncomfortable with already. Same with a guy. It's like this crazy guy who writes us, "Dear Pastor Mark, I married a woman who was a prostitute. And now I'm having real problems with her past." Now you're having problems with her past. Now, after you marry her, Now you need me, you need the counselors and the pastors and the church, everybody trying to help you, because now you're on, because you couldn't think before you married the girl who was a prostitute. You knew she was a prostitute. But now it bothers him.
Was he having sex with that prostitute before he got married to her?
Oh, I don't know. Who cares?
No, I was just curious.
I don't know. I didn't want to know.
Because then you know why he married her.
But I don't know what's the matter with people. I don't understand. I don't understand it.
I don't either.
You marry someone, you should like them. Here's the thing. Here's how you know you should marry somebody. You like them.
Well, this girl would say that she likes him. She just doesn't like these things about him.
She doesn't like him. But that's him.
See, they don't get that. They like him. They like the idealized version. And they just think they don't like these things about him.
This is a boy who's had a very dark past and had a lot of problems in his past. Okay. You don't like that past. You're very uncomfortable with it. You're going to live with it. You marry him. You're marrying that past with him. Now, there's a lot of people who have no problem with it. I'm not saying you can't marry. I'm not saying he's doomed to stay single.
No.
There's a lot of people who do terrible things. Just find someone who's comfortable with that. That you can say, listen, I used to be a prostitute and I got saved and got you. And they praise God. We have a good friend.
Yes, we do.
She was a prostitute. They just got married and he knew it and he's happy with it. As far as I know, they're happily married.
Yeah.
But he wasn't miserable with the idea that she's already a prostitute
okay
and marries
that.
Her, and now he's upset because she used to have sex with other men.
Yeah.
You already know you're having a problem with this. Stop it.
And I didn't even ask the question about pornography and all of that. With his past, odds are she'd be having to deal with that, too. I didn't even go down that rabbit trail with her.
Anyway, that's our answer. She'll do whatever she wants. I'm sure she won't listen to me.
Well, she does say she's a virgin, so hopefully, you know, they have remained such, and that won't cloud her vision,
good,
and she'll be able to walk away.
Why are you marrying someone? Forget these guys. People do this all the time.
I know.
They literally they come to guys like me asking for marriage counseling, not pre-marriage counseling, but actual relationship counseling, because they can't stand each other.
How do we make this right so
that we
can move
forward? How do you make this
work
so I can get married? And I always say, don't get married. And they don't listen because they're crazy. Anyway, all right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
He's come for the lonely, the lost and devout. There's only a baby real.
We're back. Mark Gunger Showtime. I love marriage and relationships. Answering your emails. What have you got?
Okay, this one says, I have a question concerning some people I know who are attending our church. They are living together and they say they are not sleeping together. Their relationship is more of a sharing of expenses and resources, although she has referred to him as her husband. Uh-huh. They have been confronted because he was serving as a deacon. Apparently, he has no desire for her as a future spouse. But I think that she sees the relationship differently. My question really is it okay for a man and a woman to live together for the sole purpose of resource and financial sharing?
I think it's crazy. Why would you do that? I mean, how dysfunctional is this? I don't understand. There's no reason. See, I don't understand situations because there's no excuse for it. People, they want the justification to either fornicate or to live together, share resources, do it. Just marry the girl.
Well, they were both previously divorced and married, so maybe they don't want to get the entanglement of that. I'm just guessing. With blended families.
There's no excuse for it. I don't think so. I don't care what their past is. There's no excuse for it. You want to be with someone, you want to live with someone, you marry them. It's very simple.
Otherwise, hire a maid. If that's all she is, then why doesn't he just hire a maid?
First of all, does anyone actually believe they're not having sex?
Well, if they're not, that's unusual and even more dysfunctional.
Which is even more dysfunctional. If they're actually living together and not having sex, then that's extremely dysfunctional. Mm-hmm.
That's just resource sharing. That's like having a roommate. I mean, that's like just having... Why didn't she go find another woman to live
with? Here's what hacks me off. You got people who say single people can't afford to get married. Okay. And then you got people, they can live together and still share resources, but they still can't get married. People don't want to get married. They just want to make the commitment to marriage. There's all kinds of...
Yeah.
Everybody's got their excuse. There's just no excuse for it. And someone in the church, you know, you still love them. You're not going to kick them out of your church, but he certainly shouldn't be a deacon or any other leader and stuff. And what can you do? You can't force people to do the right thing, but as much as you can speak into their lives, you would speak to them. You know what you're doing is crazy. I would talk to that lady. Seriously, you're not having, we're not having sex. Then why are you with the guy? Well, we're sharing resources. Well, that's just crazy. You don't want somebody who's going to be a lover to you? You don't want somebody who's going to desire you? I mean, I
would feel extraordinarily used. Like, dude, go hire a maid. He's using her resources, and she's cleaning up after him and doing his laundry.
And she's using his. But again, I don't know. Why don't you just get married? What they're doing is wrong. In my opinion, it's wrong. It's dysfunctional and it's crazy. I would confront them, but I'm not a mean, nasty way. Look, we got all kinds of people coming to my church that live all kinds of crazy ways. And they know what we believe, but you don't hate people. We're not about hating people. But they know what we believe, and we speak into their lives and best we can. But that's highly dysfunctional. What you described is about as weird as it gets. There's other weirder versions of life, but that's just one of the weirdest ones.
It's very odd.
You know, we're living together. We're not having sex, but we're living together. Why? Well, to share resources. What? You don't want to be with her? You don't want to be together? I mean, none of it makes any sense.
It's very odd.
Unless it's a Will and Grace situation.
Unless this guy's gay, you know, why don't you just find another lady to live with, or he can get a buddy to live with. I mean, it's the whole thing doesn't make any sense. What is her question again?
Is there a point to the question? Is it okay for people to live together if they're not having sex?
No, I think it's crazy.
It's just financial sharing.
I think it's crazy. That's my opinion. Done.
Okay.
What else you got?
Next one says, my question to you is, do you think love can make any marriage work? I know you talk about how Christians should marry other Christians, but what if they love a non-Christian? Can they still make it work, or should they move on?
No, they can still make it work. Love never fails, the Bible says. Can love make any relationship work? Yes.
If you actually
love each other,
according to the biblical definition, the feelings of love, no.
If you love somebody and will walk in love, you can succeed with anybody, heathens or not. It doesn't, you don't have to be a born again Christian to have a great marriage. That's shocking to some people, but you don't. I know many atheists who have wonderful marriages. They're loving and they're kind to each other, and they respect each other. They can have a great marriage. Now, I think if you'll actually live out your faith, it'll make your marriage even better. I do believe that. But I know a lot of heathens that have great marriages. I know a lot of Christians who have terrible marriages. Mm-hmm. People think it's just because of your faith. Not because of your faith. It's because you walk in love. Can you walk in love with anybody and make a relationship work? Absolutely. The answer is yes. Of course. You know, not this dysfunctional, crazy thing you just described before. Well, we're just living together, but we don't want to really be with each other, and it's bizarre. There's no reason
but
for it.
The previous email, two emails ago, when Phil said, but love overcomes it all. I mean, that's what I was thinking this question was about. If we just love each other, if we feel like we're in love with each other, can we overcome everything?
Uh-huh.
And I think that
the Bible says he who marries will have trouble in this life. Even that first email, the lady with a guy's background, can they make it work? Yeah, if you just walk in love, but she'll struggle. She'll struggle. Why intentionally struggle when you know you're going to struggle anyway? You have to understand, marriage under the best of circumstances is really hard. Why would you inflate that and make it even harder? But yeah, would it work even for the first lady? Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you will walk in love, you can tolerate anything. But it's still hard. So my advice, if you need help before you get married, best not to get married. Find someone you actually like and don't have a big problem with. We'll be back right after this.
Caution, The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
From Romeo and Juliet to plays they haven't written yet. It's old and new. It's a classic tale of two in a perfectly perfect love.
The wonderful music of Michael O'Brien. You can check out his music at michaelo.org. You're listening to or part of the Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. I'm Mark Unger, Phil Unger, and Diane Brierley, answering your emails about love, marriage, and relationships.
Okay, the previous emailer had one more question at the end. Okay. She wants to know, what would you say to people who keep dating because they think the grass is always greener?
Well, they'll always be dating.
There's always somebody.
There's always somebody prettier, smarter, makes more money. Just, you know, what do I say to that? What can you say? At some point, you know, how old are you going to be? 98? At some point, you're going to have to move on with life. So my advice would be to them is, you know, hey, you need to get serious about life. It depends on all the factors, how old they are, and how serious are they dating. You're talking about just going out and having dinner with different people? Or are you talking about actually really? Here's the problem with dating and breaking it off. You're getting your heart shred to pieces. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens when you cut yourself a lot? You get all kinds of calluses. And you'll actually wind up with a very hard heart. Mm-hmm. So my advice is, depending on what they mean by dating, you know, if you're, oh, here's a cute guy and here's another cute guy, I don't have a problem with that, you know. If you want to, at some point you're going to have to make a decision to move on. But if you're talking dating, when you get really close and you fall in love with each other and stuff like that, and you break it off because I find another guy that, or there's another girl who's prettier, and you just, you know, at some point your heart just gets shredded. Every time you get that close to somebody and you rip it apart, you leave wounds. There's a lot of people who are very wounded in their heart. At some point they become unmarriageable. Unmarriable. Because they're so damaged. So I would warn against that.
I would be leery, because if you do that when you get married, guess what? There's going to be somebody else, even when you're married, that seems like their grass is greener, and that you'll be tempted to go there and go there again and go there. Because there's always, even when you're married, there's somebody that's better.
Mm-hmm. We live in the state of Wisconsin here in the United States, in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's known as the dairy state. We have cows everywhere. And generally, when the grass is really greener on the other side of the fence, is because some cow dropped a big pile of cow poo because it's fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. Is the grass greener on the other side because it has a lot of fertilizer?
It's got a lot of poo all over it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the main thing to worry about is actually the shredding of your heart. I mean, if you're serious, it depends on what kind of dating we're talking about. Yeah. If you're talking serious dating, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, but if you casually chasing greener grass, okay, just remember at some point you need to move on. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, this one says, my husband is in the military and we have been through 6 deployments in the past 10 years.
Well, God bless you for what you do.
How do we turn on our desire buttons? When he is deployed, we just kind of turn the sex part off in our minds, and it's hard to get it turned back on again. We've tried lingerie and some spontaneous things. We're both working and going to college full time, have an 18-month-old son who keeps us busy. I know we need to make time, but it's hard with all the demands we both have on us. Any mm-hmm. suggestions?
Well, I always talk about people who have great sex lives have them on purpose.
Eyeball licking? did they try that?
From the last week's show.
Good grief.
Try licking his eyeball.
People are crazy. Please do not try that.
So the people who have great sex lives have them on purpose. Their intentionality. Everybody's looking for spontaneity. My answer to you is don't try to be spontaneous. I think the quest for spontaneity is probably the most damaging concept of sexuality in marriages today. Everybody's in magazines, oh, how to get the spontaneity back, books on how to get the spontaneity back, conferences on how to get the spontaneity back in your marriage. We don't care about spontaneity. You don't need spontaneity. What you need is intentionality. People who will have an active sex life on purpose. There's all kinds of ways you can do it. You can schedule it. There's all kinds of ways you can. One of the things that we've done recently, I just did a book with a lady called Carolyn Evans, who came up with this great little concept called the bead method. Let me tell you a little bit about this. And, if you want to check out the book, you can find it on our website at laughyourway.com. If you're in Africa or Australia, some of the other countries, go to your local Christian bookstore, retailer, and ask them for the book. They should be in the bookstores pretty soon, if they're not already there. It's called The Bead Method. Now, here's what the lady did. She was in a marriage relationship with her husband, and they were struggling. They were having a hard time, and their sex life was awful because they're saying, like this lady just asked, you know, there's no spontaneity, no spark, and stuff like that. Well, they're really struggling. It's his 40th birthday. She says, I need to come up with some special gift. So coming up to his birthday, because they were really not getting along, she said, I finally decided what I'm going to give you for your birthday. He said, watch, I'm going to give you 40 days of sex. Well, he thought, oh, this is awesome. So he was smiling already. And then she woke up the next morning and thought, oh, good Lord, what am I, you know, because it wasn't his birthday yet.
Mm-hmm.
What am I thinking? I can't do this. I'll wind up in a hospital. You know, mm-hmm. that's too intense. So what she did was, on his birthday, she gave him this a little bag of beads. They're cute little beads. See how the pretty little beads? Whoops, you can't see there. There we go. Okay, the beads. And this little bowl. She calls it a bead catcher. And the deal was this.
If you bury them in the ground.
They'll grow a bean stalk.
And no, you're mixing your stories there. All right? So you got the little bead catcher. And she said, here's the deal. Every time you want sex, you're promised you got all these beads. These are guaranteed times of sex. You just drop the bead in the bowl. And then the promise is, within 24 hours, I will make love to you. Now, what was great about it, she did it because she wanted to slow the process down. It was great because he got all this promise of getting his sexual needs met. What they found inadvertently was every time he would drop the bead, all of a sudden, she started seeing the best version of him. Because now he knows he's going to win. He doesn't know when. It's up to her. She gets the control.
Well, he knows within 24 hours.
She knows within 24 hours. Sometimes it could happen right away. It could happen whatever. It's just that he knows he gets to win now. Now, how is he treating her? Nice. He's flirting with her. He's polite to her. He's going out of his way for her. She was stunned at how nice he was just because he knew she was going to win. A lot of guys get very angry and bitter with their wives and very frustrated because they know whenever they ask, it's always a no. And then they always get the worst version of him, and it becomes problematic. So anyway, so then they would make love and stuff like that, and then when he was in the mood again, he'd drop another beat and stuff like that. So she came up with this idea of doing this on a permanent basis, and it came up with this book called The Bead Method that we wrote together, and it's her story of how it works. I talk about the importance of doing this, getting rid of spontaneity, being intentional about your love life, because a lot of people say, well, how does that work? Well, what about the rules? Well, what happens if this happens? Well, that's why there's the book. Okay, there's the book.
Explain it.
We explain it to you. Okay. And it's a very easy read, and you got the cute little bowl and the bag of beads, and it can work either way, either for the whoever is the most interested in sex. Offers it to the other. The one who's the least interested in sex offers it to the other one. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's the wife who offers it to the husband. Sometimes it's the husband who offers it to the wife. So, okay, here's the deal. We're going to get intentional about it. This is how you know you get to win. I promise to you, I will make love to you for every one of these beads in here. And every time one of you are interested, you just drop the bead in the bowl, whatever, and within 24 hours, I will be a lover to you. And just this simple little game that they play took out all the frustration in their love life. And their marriage started to thrive. She started sharing it with other ladies, and they started having the same response. And over and over again, she's got all these testimonials of people's lives, their sex lives, who've been dramatically improved. And now there's the intention. Now they're not playing this game of when are we going to do it, we're not going to do it. And men are very awkward about it, because when a man asks for sex, he's not suggesting 24 hours. He's suggesting right now. Let's do it right now. And of course, she's like, well, I don't feel like it right now. And then he gets mad, she gets mad that he's mad, and everything spirals out of control. This is a fun way, and we show you how to do it. So check out the book, The Bead Method. Carolyn Evans and the fabulous Mark Gunger wrote the book, and The Little Bead Catcher. You can check it out on our website at laughyourway.com, or go to a Christian bookstore, particularly for our overseas people who watch the program. And check it out there. It's a great little system that can help take this frustrating. It's so crazy because sex is supposed to be a wonderful part of marriage, but a lot of times it turns into a nightmare for people, and it becomes really problematic. So the entire book is not about how to have sex. There's nothing graphic in it. If you don't know how to have sex when you buy the book, when you're done, you're still not going to know how to have sex because it doesn't tell you anything. It's not graphic in any way, shape, or form. It's not about having sex or how to have sex. Is about when. How do you fix this problem of when do we do this? And we wrote this simple little book to explain to you how you can get past the spontaneity issue, move on to intentionality, and start really enjoying this thing that God created for you to enjoy in the first place. Bead Method. Check it out, okay? We'll be back with more emails right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
We're back. Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage.
That's what it sounds like, doesn't it?
Funk it down. No, it's not funk it down. Different song. All right, what do you got?
He says, Mark, I heard you say the other day that you like The Simpsons, you know, the TV show?
Yep.
And to not live in the basement and filter what we see and hear, and I agree. Although that's not really what you said. Do not.
People always think I say something I didn't say.
You do say that you should filter some of it, not totally keep yourself immune to all of it.
Look, you have two options with entertainment. You either filter it as you go along as an adult. You don't let your kids see stuff, but or you don't watch anything.
Yeah.
You live in the basement. That was the example. I don't literally mean live in the basement. I just mean you choose not to go. And some people literally don't go to anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go to things and I'll say, but there's all kinds of stuff that you can say, well, that wasn't good or that. We all have our lines that we don't want to see stuff or hear stuff and we won't put up with it. The Simpsons, I comfortably have.
And there's people who are not comfortable with that show.
I think, yeah, I know. And they never watch it.
Right. Okay. And that's fine.
I think it's funny.
Okay, so he says, I like the show Seinfeld. How do you feel about shows like Seinfeld and Friends, you know, the show Friends, uh-huh. where it is about non-Christians and real life?
First of all, it's not about real life.
This is true.
That was the dumbest part of that email. The Simpsons. The Simpsons.
No, Friends and Seinfeld.
It's not real life, okay?
But neither are Friends and Seinfeld.
None of them are real life. It's all nonsense. I can't stand Friends. Friends, to me, is all about sex.
Yeah.
And they're all taking turns having sex with each other in some weird version over the... I mean, it's just disgusting.
And they really push the porn on that show.
Oh, everything. Everything bad. Yep. So that all crosses lines for me. Seinfeld, at times, crosses those lines. Yeah. But that's not...
But not on a consistent every episode
and it's not
basis.
What that show's all about. I think it's hilarious.
I love Seinfeld.
But it's still not real life.
Although sometimes my life resembles a Seinfeld
at
episode.
At times it does, yes. So I think it's fun. And so, yeah, unless... I guess what would be great if Christian people would actually produce really great entertainment where they didn't have all that stuff, that would be great. Then we wouldn't have these problems. Sadly, we don't have a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you got to choose your filter. And you know, there's things that people will allow that other people won't. Paul talks about that. There's Christians that allow this and others won't allow that. Don't condemn a person and what he will allow and all these kind of things. And, you know, trying to figure out all the lines that are out there for people. But
I wish they would make good shows that don't have to cross the line so far sexually.
Well, there are. I mean, there's some great. You know what? One of the top shows now in the country is the Duck Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
They just came out third season. It set new records for an opening on cable.
11.9 million people watched that.
They
first
love
episode.
The show, and it's not about it. These are Christian people.
Yeah.
Who are real people, by the way. One of the things that people like about this show, although.
Well, that's what some people don't like about the show.
Is we're very real, and people are shocked that a pastor can talk. People, they always say, "I'm so surprised you can be real." We talk like normal people.
Yeah,
that's how normal people talk. Yeah. You know, then you got the pastoral. Well, we're here, praise God. We just want to look into the scriptures to find out your problems or other. And I'm not opposed to that, but at some point, you need to talk in real life. How do you deal with real life issues? Mm-hmm. So we're very different because we talk in real life ways, and we don't talk in. You know, hyper-spiritual terms, and we're not all, you know, I don't sound like a televangelist. I don't have enough hair for a televangelist.
That's true.
So, you know.
But Duck Dynasty is a good show.
It's a great show.
Not a lot.
And they pray on every show.
Yes.
And they don't hide their faith. They're very bold, but they're very outrageous people, and they insult each other. And
I love that
They
show.
Argue about stuff and do the stupidest things. It's hilarious. I love this show. There's all kinds of great shows out there. Well, you don't have to. So some people will only watch shows like that. It's fine. Others will watch shows like Seinfeld or Simpsons. Okay, but there's a lot of shows that Christians watch that are highly inappropriate. And I often shake my heads and wonder where their lines are. Mm-hmm. Some of them, I'm very close to some of these people. I could mention names, but I won't. I don't know what world they're living in where they I know Christians who read, you know, the 50 Shades of Grey and think it's great and watch some of these really sexual, inappropriate TV. Oh, this is wonderful. And, you know, even stupid shows like The Bachelor. I'm mortified by some of these dumb things.
I dislike that show highly.
You know, his goofy wife gets together with girls in our church.
Yeah.
And watch these
now
shows.
Now you just named names.
I just named a name.
You said you weren't gonna, and you
did. No. And I just threw my daughter-in-law under the bus. You know, I'm not going to condemn them for it, but I think
What did you say about living in the basement again? That's where I'm going to be.
That's where
Thanks.
No, it's not you. It's me. I said it. You know, I mean, it's not highly immoral, but it's like, really,
why?
Girls? This is what you circle around, and they're all from my church that do it. So, I mean, again, we all have our lines on it.
Yeah.
You know, those are lines that they think it's fine, I'm mortified by. But then there's some stuff. I don't see how people can cross the lines at all that they tolerate this stuff. So I don't know. It's all pretty weird. All right. We'll be back with more emails right after this break.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Then I recall the fact you loved me when I was wrong.
We're back on the Mark Unger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Talking about TV shows, Nancy just admitted she likes watching The Bachelorette.
Poor Nancy, thrown under the bus. We're
throwing all these people in.
Kirstie's never going to talk to her husband again.
I already had to text her to let her know it was mentioned on the show. And I know there's some of you gals who attend the Bible study.
Filtering
Bible study slash Bachelorette for gathering.
They actually do it's get cold. Together and go through Bible studies as well.
This just isn't the Bible study version of that group.
Look, we're not killing anybody. We're not condemning. I just said there's people who watch shows that I think are disgusting, and that's one of them. I wasn't trying to kill anybody.
He's not insulting you by telling you all watch a disgusting show that he wouldn't watch.
Here's why it's disgusting to me. I spend my life trying to fix problems that shows like that create. Straight up.
Yeah.
A lot of what we deal with the show is fixing problems that stupid shows like that create. This over-romanticized, over... Why any woman would put herself on a block like a block of cheese or meat and compete with other women for some idiot's attention is horrifying.
It's like
to
the
me.
Cattle at the county fair.
There's like, oh my gosh. Well, let's go look at this cow. That's a pretty good cow. Which cow do you want? I don't know. I kind of like that blue. That first cow's over there, brown cow. Good grief. I'm mortified by it. So you girls will watch it. We love Nancy. I love my daughter-in-law. I love the ladies in our church who watch it. I think you're all crazy for watching it. I was just using it as an example.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Peace.
Poor Phil.
I'm toast.
Well, that's not your fault. Blow off on your dumb father.
Yeah, blame it on your dad.
Oh, yeah, I mean, your stupid father-in-law. You talk to him about it.
Anyway. Okay. This question says, hey, Pastor Mark, I'm single and 22. My dad's a pastor and sex is never talked about. It's shoved under the rug and is only discussed the night before marriage. Because of the lack of discussion, it seems like sex is...
How does she know that?
Apparently through her siblings or something. I don't know.
Okay. So they tell them sex is dirty, and the night before they get married, okay, go enjoy it.
Apparently. So how can I start seeing marital sex as a beautiful thing that doesn't cause embarrassment?
Oh, quit listening to your dad. That'd be number one. I don't know. I don't know how you fix this. You will probably be embarrassed by sex your whole life. There's people who never get over it. Mm-hmm. I think it's sad. Shame on your dad for doing this. Your parents. Shame on all the Christian parents who make their kids view sex as something dirty and filthy and rotten, and then they struggle with it for the rest of their lives. I think it's just really sad.
I've read several articles recently about that, how the Christian church does such a poor job. Purity, and no sex, and then they expect you to flip that switch on the night of your wedding, and how difficult it really is for a lot of people.
Oh, we don't have enough time to talk about that. I mean, the problem, one of the big problems, we hear about the problems of delayed marriage that create porn and immorality. One of the problems that churches have created is getting people to switch off their sex switch. We celebrate it. Oh, it's great. They're saying no. And then they wait through their whole 20s and the 30s, and they've shut the switch off the whole time, and we celebrate the 38-year-old virgin. Oh, how fabulous. They're finally virgins. They're getting married. Oh, praise God. And they get together, and their sex lives are awful. Mm-hmm. They're just awful. I had one lady tell me, we did everything right. I married this guy, 35, never had sex, and I have to just about rape him when I want to have sex. He was all disgusted about it. I'm very frustrated because she married a guy who had so... We are creating a third category. We're creating people who shut off their sex drive so hard that when they get married, they can't turn it back on. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a disaster. That's why I'm against delayed marriage. See, if you marry young, less chance of that happening. But I know people, I've been at churches where somebody on staff in the church could not sit in any session that I talked about sex. He was so embarrassed.
Really?
So embarrassed. I mean, he's mortified. He just couldn't. He literally got up and he had to walk. He knew ahead of time, I can't be in there. You know, and it's sad that people would do this to you. So how to fix that, I don't know. And here's a problem. And boy, we're going to throw this one out there. There are people who, on their wedding night, marry people, Christians, that they were virgins and everything, and the other person won't even have sex with them. Yep. And that's a disaster. I know 5 people personally. This is how rampant this is. 5 people personally that went through this hell. And they went to pastors and told them, my wife won't have sex with me, or my husband won't have sex with me. And these very well-meaning but incredibly stupid pastors try and fix it. And they go counseling, and they're trying, and these people stay in years, and virtually every one of them end in divorce. When you have someone on, all you people, you get married, a new pastor's listening to me, you got somebody in your church who they get married, and on their wedding night and on the for the whole honeymoon, they refuse to have sex, you get an annulment. You have them come back in, you tear it up, the marriage has not been consummated. They think it's been consummated because they prayed. Mm-hmm. They think it's been consummated because they made a promise to each other. No, 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 no. Legally, morally, and biblically, a marriage is not consummated until they have sex. And if you have somebody, a couple, who one of them doesn't want to have sex, it is not a marriage. You tear that up. You let that person free. It is not a divorce. It's called an annulment. And if some of you need to get a legal annulment, your pastor should go to this courthouse with you and say, look, we married these guys. They haven't consummated. Almost every state, that I don't know about Africa and other countries mm-hmm. and stuff, where they have annulments. If one of the reasons for an annulment is you failure to consummate the marriage and you tear it up, when you find someone who on their wedding honeymoon refuses to have sex, do not try and fix this. And the number of people listening to me right now, they were in marriages like that or stuck in marriages like that right now. They're in hell. It's awful. They should have never been put in this situation. And the sad thing is we created this by having pastors like this and parents who told their children sex was so bad that they can't have sex when they get married. I don't know how to fix it. We need to warn it. And if it ever happens, we need to tear up that marriage and let these people free. All right, we'll be back.
Bye-bye.